title of my message this morning is God's plan is the right plan for you. That sounds pretty theologically sound, don't you think? God's plan is the right plan for you. Right, Gamma? Yeah. So I think this morning we're gonna read and we're gonna take communion as well. So if some of you find it tricky to get communion, why don't you organise your communion now? It should be on your chair or under your seat. And I'm gonna read from the old translation of the New Living, which we've got ready, right, Josh? Good man. Ephesians 3. I'll incorporate this into my message so that it all goes to plan. All right, Ephesians 3. When I think of... Verse 14. Yep, good. When I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan... Is anyone grateful for God's plan in their life? I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. Oh, Lord, we're grateful for your word today. Verse 18, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now glory be to God. Can anyone give me loud? Now glory be to God. By his mighty power at work within us, he is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are a God of hope. Lord, we thank you that we can draw on your strength, and actually where we thought we couldn't get through, you get through for us. We thank you for who you are in our life today. And so this is a prayer of Paul, a prayer of how Paul experiences God, a prayer of how he prays for the people of God, and a prayer Paul hopes that each and every one of us will grasp into our own hearts. How big, how marvelous, how incredible, how limitless our God is. Oh Lord, we're thankful. And so as we take our communion in our hands, but before we partake, let me read you 3:16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. We have the most potent power available to us. And as we're just having the communion in our hands, which represent his body and his blood and what he's done for us, why don't we just say, Lord, I thank you that with you, I can get through every situation I'm facing. Just pray something like that. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that you are the most formidable king. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to give me strength. I thank you, Lord, that whatever's going to happen in 2020, I've got you by my side right through it. I thank you, Lord, that I am virtually indestructible. No matter what happens to my body, I can still have a sound knowledge that you are there with me and that you will get me through. And so I thank you that you have limitless resources. And I recognize that I am limited. And I pray today that as I partake of this communion, that I will be built up in you. And that as we continue to read his word today, that I will be a person that acknowledges who you are in my life and stay in tight relationship with you. And the people of God said, amen. Why don't you take off the communion this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So the power is in his indwelling in your life. The power is where? In the indwelling in your life. And so how you see God is so vital. And as you and I look into 2020, as this is the first Sunday of 2020, can we see God for who he really is? It's best not to be narrow-minded about who God is in your life. And as we increase our knowledge of God, we will be strengthened, the Word of God says, with all might, according to his glorious power. And so what that really means is that you and I will be made mighty. Not in an arrogant way, but we will have strength to endure. We will be unmovable, unshakable, and through the love of God in our heart, there is nothing that can really shift us from our position of who God is in our life. In Ephesians 3:14, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall to my knees and pray. So let's this morning look at 2 points. First one, God's plan. God's plan. There are things in this world that I need God's help with. Do you agree? Are you following me this morning? There are things in this world that you and I need God's help with. There are things in this world that we just even from our own upbringing, that every now and then they just rise up. Have you noticed that? And we wish they didn't. And sometimes when we're in a marriage relationship or a close friendship and we're with someone and that thing just rises up because it was there in the past and suddenly it's there and you're thinking, down boy. Well, I am. But as we stay strengthened in who? In Christ, yes. As we stick close with him, we find a way through. And can I say, who's got problems in their life today? Who wish they didn't have problems in their life? I think we can all agree we've all got problems. Some of us have probably got bigger problems than others. Depends how you compare it, I guess. But I do know this. You have to pray for the result that you have to pray for the result that you desire. What do we have to do, church? We have to pray for the result that we desire. Does anyone desire that the fire stop? We have to keep praying. What other option is there? What thing in your world that you're still struggling with, or there's a problem that you're facing in your life, and it's become something that's, oh my goodness, I wish it wasn't there anymore. Can we keep praying? Can you keep praying? Because if you don't keep praying, then how is God going to answer your prayer? Can we be strong in Him in 2020? Andrew and I made a decision a few years ago that it was time to downsize our home. Andrew is laughing. I should have spoken to you about this, but anyway, too late now. Downsize our home. And the housing market, as those of you who are in real estate would know, has been terribly flat in Perth and is not looking like getting any better. Interest rates probably going to go down, not up. And we both knew that it was likely that we would take a hit on our home. We wouldn't get what we paid for it because we built it new when the market was much higher. And so we decided that, no, we're going to trust God. We felt like it was the right thing to do for a number of reasons, including people getting married in our household. Very selfish they were. Two within 7 months. I mean, my goodness. Anyway, that's just beside the point, really. But the house went to market. And within the specified time frame the agent had given us, we had four offers, all exactly the same amount of money. And no matter how much negotiating we did, we couldn't get any of them to shift upwards on their offers. In the end, one guy came up a fraction. A fraction. And what I haven't divulged as yet is that we'd been praying consistently. Well, I know I had. And I'm sure, Andrea's a great prayer. And we'd been praying the same prayer since the house went on the market. And it was really audacious kind of prayer. We would like 12 months rent-free, please, Lord, to stay in our own house, even though it's sold, 12 months rent-free, so that we do not need to shift or rent whilst our new home is being built. Who thinks that's a big ask? It's a big ask, right? But if you don't pray, you're not going to get anything, right? So you might as well pray the big, audacious, whatever prayers you want to, just pray them. And so the agent called me and he says, what do you want to do with these four offers? Four offers, all the same amount. Andrew and I are actually driving back from up north and we get this call around Geraldton. And I'm thinking, oh, my heart went, ugh, because they weren't enough in my head. And I said, I would like you to write into the offer and acceptance that the sale will go through to the person who agrees to 12 months totally free rent plus no conditions, once we move out of our house in 12 months' time once the rent-free period is finished. He goes, I've never done that before. But he said, I will do what you've requested. Why not? Let's give it a go. One of the four interested parties was a FIFO worker, to my knowledge single, and already had other property. He signed the offer and acceptance, including the 12-month rent-free period and no conditions whatsoever. Our house sold and we continued to live there like it was our own house for another 12 months, and we never saw the owner. Come on. I know you're all astounded, but can someone give the Lord a hand this morning? It gets better, just in my mind, but God's always God of the last minute. Have you noticed that? So we were building a new home. The problem was that the block that we were supposed to be building on, we had 12 months, actually they did, well, it was, let's just say it wasn't what they said they were going to do with the block. And so we had to rechange and get another, who knows, that takes time. So now we're down to about 10 months. And then we had to build the house. And then, anyway, on the last day before we were going to have to start paying rent, we were able to shift into our new home. I'm telling you, there's something about persistent and consistent prayer to God. And that God has limitless power to help you in life. And He cares about the little things. He cares about your little stuff, which in the scheme of things to Him is, you know, but He cares. And we can underestimate what God can do for us. And all we really need to do is ask. He may just astound you. Can anyone start praying some really audacious goals for 2020? Come on. What would you really like? Some of you haven't been in a home and maybe you want to get a... Come on, let's start praying some... Let's start praying until God actually gets so fed up, He sends an angel and there it goes. There's your house signed off. Who'd like that? You've got to persevere, guys. Don't give up. See, we can underestimate what God can do for us. My goodness. With God's plan, we are going to make it or out. We're going to make it. We're going to not just make it. He's going to astound us. And when Paul says in Ephesians 3, when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan. Come on. When I think of the... Who thinks God's wiser than us? And scope. Who thinks He's got more scope than us? Of God's plan. Who's pretty happy the way He made the world? He's got a good plan, right? But Paul's saying this while he's in prison. He's a prisoner. He's under guard. In fact, I listened to a message from Phil Pringle recently, and they had to keep changing the guards every 4 hours because he kept converting them all. And Paul is saying, God's got this. And Paul is saying that it may not look so great at times, yet you can still be buoyant in life. You serve a limitless God. No matter your circumstances, stick with Him. He has got you. He will get you through. Can anyone give me an amen this morning? See, Paul says, I fall to my knees. The ultimate aim of prayer is obedience to God's will in your life. And Paul is celebrating that although he may be in prison, my goodness, even the word celebrate in prison, they just don't match, do they? Here he is in prison, and he's been able to bring a common Saviour, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles also. He's saving all these guards, and amidst Paul's own adversity, he is able to live on a higher level. He is the same Jesus for you and I today. He is the same Jesus for our world today. And so no matter what circumstances you are facing, that like Paul, Jesus has the plan for your life. And sometimes it's only going to be Jesus who can get you through a situation. Oh, Lord, I'm glad I've got you. Oh, Father God. And I'd like us to take a lesson out of Paul's book. And we've done a little bit of that this morning already. But let's start our year on our knees. Maybe not literally, but let's pray. And it's better than finishing the year on your knees, right? Maybe if we start our year on the knees, then maybe we'll finish better. Invite Jesus into your world. And I'm not just talking to those that aren't Christian here today. I'm talking to every single one of us. We've got to invite Him into our world. We've got to invite Him into our situations that we're facing. And set aside time to pray over the year ahead. We'll talk more about this as part of our vision in February. You know, big decisions in life require prayer. was a big decision selling our home at such an awkward time, and yet I can see God's hand through the whole thing. God's just so big and so good. And the other thing is that God doesn't live in isolation. He lives in community. It's so great to have you all here this morning on this first weekend of... It's great to celebrate together. And Paul may be in isolation writing this letter, but his head is in his community. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. He knows that if Christ can dwell in our hearts, it will be good for all of us. I'm saying the obvious. Keep coming to church. Why? Well, for one thing, it'll keep you grounded. And it'll keep you grounded in Him. And God's plan for us is to build relationships in His church. It's the importance of connect groups and other groups that we are involved in. And God's plan is that we build relationships outside of His church as well. So that the limitless God can come into their lives. Hell is isolation. Who'd like to go to hell? Hell is what? Isolation. Heaven is, what do you think? Community. And so God wants to communicate with you. His plan is always the best plan. And the prayer Paul is praying through these verses is not a prayer asking God to give him stuff. We can do that, as I've just given you an illustration. But it's rather you hearing what God has for you to do. I may be here in prison, but I can win prison guards to Christ. I may be in a difficult surroundings, but I can write letters to the church. I think that we can get into the habit of asking God for this and for that, but whilst we're in this frame of mind, he can't talk to us because we're too busy asking. Hear the voice of God speaking into your heart. I often get a little thought when I'm thinking through some of the situations that I'm facing in my life, as you all would do similarly. But I'll get this. I know that it's the Holy Spirit saying to me, just a gentle, gentle voice. And it's not really a voice, it's just a knowing. Everything's going to be all right, Nigel. Because He's there. He's right there. And there are talents that many of you have, and they're specific to you, that God desires you to use to help and encourage and build the church up. Let 2020 be the best year. See yourself flourish in 2020. And when God speaks to you, there is no doubt it's Him. It's not could it be God? You know, because you're tight with God. So we've got to open our heart up to Him. And walk with Him. Not hoping He's there. Not guessing He's there. You know. Because of God's plan, I fall to my... Oh, Lord, we pray. Right here, right now. Lord, I pray that every person, Father, like Paul was praying for his community, I pray, Lord, that every person keeps you close to his heart in 2020 and onwards. Lord, we're here to serve you. And you help us keep on the right path for our life, the right plan for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you, just talking about our house again just for a moment, we'll know that the banks have changed their rules due to the Royal Commission, and we got caught up in all that. And our bank representative asked me, they actually said, look, our credit department has asked to that how much your rent is going to be while your house is being built. And so I was able to send them the offer and acceptance showing that there was 12 months rent-free period and no restrictions when we left the house. And the bank representative said to me, I've never seen that before. Serious. It all came about because one day I was close to God. Occasionally I do that. And I had this kind of picture of this is what I was going to do. There's another side to this story, which is the human side, which Andrea knows full well about. Where it's, you know, when you're in faith and yet you're kind of like, oh dear, have I done the right thing? Just keep going with God. Just hang in there. Stick with what you know God's told you to do. Anyway, so we were able to provide the offer and acceptance for the sale, and she actually said, that's amazing. And what the bank representative was not aware of, but Andrew and I were, was that it made the difference between paying for our daughter's wedding or not having a wedding. God knows the little stuff in your life and he knows how to sort it out. God knew all this stuff before we did. God is interested in all the finer details of your lives. So I'm going to ask you one more time because I'm not sure you're getting it quite yet. What plans can you submit to God this year? And what can you ask God about so that you get what we had and get something dropped into your spirit and then run with that and see how mighty your God is? Because I reckon he's going to surprise you. And secondly, my last point, at home in you. Ephesians 3:17. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. Put your hand on your heart for a second. Lord, be at home in my heart. Please, Lord, be at home in my heart. As you trust in him, it says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. So let me ask you, what are your roots in? David was pretty much abandoned by his father, Jesse. He was one of eight children. His older three brothers had gone to see the battle lines, Israel versus the Philistines, and there's Goliath, of course, and everyone ran away. And Jesse, the dad, old in his age as he was, says, can you take some food to the camp? And so David gets to the camp, gives the food to the person that looked after all the provisions for the various families. And his brothers give him a bit of a hard time. His older brother Eliab gave him a bit of a hard time, that's for sure. What are you doing here? And then the Philistine would come out and they'd all run and hide. But they were forgetting one key thing. And I would like to think that all of us at C3 Fremantle would have this close in our hearts, our relationship with the Lord. Because they were forgetting that while David was out tending the sheep, he had a great relationship with his Lord. And so when the Philistine came out and said, I defy the armies of Israel, David immediately, and he's a young guy, and so he did appear a little arrogant, I guess. But I tell you what, he also knew his God. And when he stood there and says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You can only do that at church. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine? You know, my goodness. What he was really saying is, I've got God in my heart. Who does this guy think he really is? And so I want to say to all of us here today, if you've got God in your heart, who does that situation or who does that person or what does that? You've got God, and that is going to be your winning. Thank you, Lord. Head off. Na 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 na. Philistines run. Yeah? Can we stand in who God is in our life? And so, Solomon actually wrote about David and says this in Psalm 132, 1 to 3. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Anyone got a few afflictions? How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of his Jacob. It's good to vow your allegiance to Christ, you know. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. David kept his eyes on the Lord. Can we keep our eyes on the Lord, church? If we give priority to the outer life, our inner life may become and probably will become dark and scary. And David kept his heart in establishing the house of God. Let's join together this year to build the house of God. Well, I was excited about that. And if your head is in the Word of God, you won't be able to help but having peace when there's trouble. Yeah? And you'll be positive, more positive, and you'll be faith-filled, because who knows the word, it brings up faith into our, and then when we speak the word out, wow, anything's possible. And if your head is into worshipping him, thank you, Lord, for who you are. We start our day well. We come to church and we worship him with all our heart. We give priority like David did. And you know where the transforming power is to take on the scariest giants, because you know your God. If I can ask the music team to please come. Ephesians 3:19. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. No room for anything else, Lord. When things get messy, we find out who people really are. Can we stand for who Christ is in our lives today, church? It's all right, you can stay seated. That was just a comment. God bless you all for being very obedient this morning. That was funny. God is your go-to power source. And of course, it rounds off with this beautiful passage that many of us will know, Ephesians 3:20. Let's read it from this older translation. Now, glory be to God. Come on, let's read it together. Why don't we stand? Come on, guys, let's stand up. Let's do it together. Okay, let's say it all out loud together. Now, glory be to God by his mighty power at work within us. He is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope. Can we believe that this morning, church? Come on, let's give him a hand this morning for who he is in our lives. And as we're standing here, like Paul, regardless of adversity, regardless of what's going on, he still had, in the right inside of him, his relationship with God was tight. David, with all the situations of this young man, but he knew his God. And he took down the giant. Can we stand today and launch into 2020 with a determination in our hearts that we would do the first things in our life the best, and that is we will serve the living God. We will trust our God. And we will keep him close to our hearts. We'll read his word. We'll worship him. We'll pray. We'll fall on our knees. And that we will see some of the things we thought could never happen, happen because God is for us. But it's a two-way thing. It's a two-way connection. And many of us here will know the Lord, but there may be some here that don't. And so I want to give an opportunity, and we're going to pray in a moment. And if you don't know God, or you know that you're out of relationship with him, you're not close like I've been speaking about today, I want to give you an opportunity at the end of this prayer to raise your hand, and I'll see it. You can pop it down again. Let us pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I turn away from my past, all my wrongdoing. I give it to you today, Lord. Come into my heart right now. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior, and I wish to follow you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer. You haven't prayed that prayer before. Just raise your hand. I'll see it. You can pop down again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. You know you're out of relationship with God. You've prayed that prayer and you mean business with God again. Just raise your hand and I'll see it. You can pop down again. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to sing a song this morning. And as we sing this song, can we continue to recognize who God is in our life? Oh, Father, we commit this year to you. I commit my life into your hands afresh today. I commit to having you close with me. Like David, like Paul, for your glory, Lord. The people of God said, amen, amen.